This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, oh, crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Chaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
This is Dirt and Spray.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Spray, gone 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Well, my mind is going through them changes.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Although not so sportsy today.
Well, it's hard to avoid stuff, man.
We're all living in the same situation.
We're all living in the same reality.
You know what I mean? Like, we're all seeing the news, so it's impossible to avoid.
Well, that was honestly, man, last night was one of the first times in a while that I had actually watched the news. I have tried to unplug as much as I can because everybody's a talking head and has a different take, and nobody has the answers. And so it's been basically Rona-related. I'm like, dude, I'm just tired of it.
Yep.
You're hoping things work out, but I'm just sick of being inundated with it day in and day out. But last night, it was impossible to not turn the news on.
All right, well, we have a lot to get to here in the second hour, including one family who thought they were doing the right thing and were looking for sympathy, and boy, did that backfire big time. Big time. I can't believe this story's real, but it is.
Yeah.
But I want to start with a question of the day. Normally we do a sports question of the day in the second hour. We're not doing that today. I've made it a TV question of the day here on a Fast Break Friday. Now, I missed this the day it came out, but I saw this yesterday and I thought, oh, okay, this is perfect. Dirt just watched this show. I've watched this show.
Oh.
We both like it. I don't think Swag watched it. Maybe he has. But for those out there that watch Ozarks with Jason Bateman, Laura Linney.
Yeah, of course. Love the show.
I think it's a great TV show. I do. I'm not saying it's the best all time. I think it's a great TV show. It's suspenseful. Yes, you got to suspend some belief, but you have to do that with almost any show.
Yeah, it's like a newer version of Breaking Bad, if you will, if you haven't seen it.
Tony Soprano visited a therapist. There's no way a mob boss would be allowed to do that. Like, I mean, let's just be honest, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You suspend belief for good shows. Well, you remember Adnan Virk?
I do. I remember. I know Adnan Virk. Well, yeah. I don't know him
personally,
but I know, if you know what I mean, Adnan Virk.
Formerly of ESPN, big baseball guy.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Is he at what's the boxing that they show boxing on?
DAZN.
Is he at the DAZN?
That sounds right.
Is he a DAZNer?
Let's call him that. But he does a podcast. He's also a big movie guy.
Yeah, he's a DAZNer.
Okay, so he's a DAZNer, and he does sports still, but he also loves cinema and TV. He does a podcast on that stuff, TV shows, movies, etc. He shared this thought. Now, it's going to start talking about Laura Linney, who plays the wife of Jason Bateman.
She's a great character.
She's a great actress. For those that have watched Ozarks, we're going to need you here. I want to know your thoughts on it. If you've watched it, you don't like it. He starts talking about Laura Linney, but he shares his feelings on Ozarks because he just binged watched it. Here it is.
He should thank God they got Laura Linney for the show. Laura Linney puts on a masterclass in this show, and she is nothing short of masterful. It's a reminder of how good an actress she is. She was in The Savages, and she loves Philip Seymour Hoffman. She says, to this day, whenever I'm acting, I try to summon the spirit of Philip Seymour Hoffman. She goes, we were great friends. I loved working with a wonderful guy. She was in John Adams, Paul Giamatti, HBO miniseries. Amazing. Thank God Laura Linney's in it, because she elevates the entire show. But ultimately, I'd rather be stranded anywhere than the Ozarks. Here's my point always about shows. When people say to me, you love watching movies, you're not as big into shows. And here's my reason. A bad movie is only 2 hours a waste of my time. Right? On Golden Pond is an hour and 50. And I say, okay, it didn't work for me. And by the way, that adds to my catalog of Henry Fonda and Katharine Hepburn. Ozark, this is 30 hours of my life, which I'm never going to get back. And I don't feel particularly better off for it.
Dude, wait, hold on.
Okay, so that's a snippet. He went on. I should have grabbed the whole thing to send to Swag, so that's my bad. That's what he ends with. He goes on, he cans the show. He says it's terrible. It's a bad knockoff version of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
He did a whole thing, and it was a hot take, man. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe listeners that watched it also didn't like it, but I think it's a really good show.
Listen, I think Ozark is a good show. Now, people are free to have whatever opinions they want. People like different shows, movies, musical genres, right? Everybody has different flavors, and if you don't like Ozark, I'm not going to get mad at you. I personally love the show, and I didn't watch it when it first came out. We binge-watched all 3 seasons in quarantine in like 2.5 weeks. We rattled through that thing, boom, boom, boom. I couldn't disagree more with almost everything he said there. One, TVs are better than movie because there's more content. So if it's a better TV show and you like the TV show, you get more content than you do with a movie. With a movie, you usually get about 2.5 hours. And then if it's a hit of a movie, they end up making another one and another one.
And they never
live up to the first one. The first one's always the best, and it goes downhill from there. There's not a single trilogy or movie series that you can point to where the first one wasn't the best, okay? Furthermore, if you don't like the TV show, stop watching the show.
Well, hold on. So can I defend him on that?
Okay, defend him on that.
This is, he does a podcast on TV movies. So, yeah, sure, it's predominantly movie reviews.
Okay, that's his fault then, though. If you're going to bitch about wasting 30 hours of your life, watch 5 episodes of it, come on and say, I don't like the show, I stop watching.
See, I'll give him this. He's being fair. He at least watched from start all the way to the up-to-date last episode. He's at least being fair. You can't call him out because he's seen everything. He gave it all a chance.
Yeah, okay.
He just doesn't have the same opinion as us.
Okay, that's fine.
I disagree with him, but I think he did this the right way. I think you have to watch the whole thing through. And you know, if I watched 4 episodes of Game of Thrones, I don't know. Should I really be giving hot takes on the whole series of Game of Thrones versus like you watched every episode almost twice?
Yeah, I did because I love that. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. Yeah. Maybe he's the unique example there if he has to watch everything for his podcast. The point remains, though, if a non-podcasting TV show person, you can't use the analogy on a movie and a TV show because if you watch one show and it doesn't hit and it doesn't stick with you, I usually say give it 3 episodes. I think that's kind of the borderline if you're starting a new show. One's a little too short for me, although I have turned shows off like 15 minutes in, like, nope, not going to watch that one. I usually say give it 3 episodes. If it floats your boat, it does. If it doesn't, then you move on. You don't have to watch 30 episodes of a show that you don't want to watch.
I just think he wanted to be thorough. He wanted to have all the details. You couldn't like say, you didn't see season 3. He saw it. He didn't like it. I disagree with that opinion drastically, but he watched it all the way through. Now, I also disagree with your number. I do think you can watch a season and conclude whether you continue to like it or not. But one of my favorite all-time shows is a network television show, Parks and Rec.
Okay.
7 seasons. I thought it was fantastic. I actually think from start to finish, it is a more consistent show than The Office.
You don't like the Robert California days, huh?
Well, yeah, I think everybody kind of brings it down a little bit. Office has better peak seasons. That's not even an argument.
Yeah, you can't replace Michael Scott.
But the first 6 to 7 episodes of Parks and Rec, if you weren't into it when it was live, to try to rewatch it, it's not going to get you. You're going to watch the first 3 and go, this show's not that great.
Yeah.
They're developing characters. You never know what's going to be just a pilot and get canceled. Once you get to like season 1, episode 6, Parks and Rec just takes off. So I do think there's probably at least a season limit, more so than like a 3-episode limit on a TV show before you have a strong conclusion that this show's overrated or it sucks.
I'm totally fine with that.
You know?
I'm totally fine with that. I can't even remember the title of it. We were looking for our latest show to watch. Oh, this is before. So we just got through The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon, which I love that show. I didn't think I was going to like it. I was like, all right, I'll give one to the fiance because we've watched some stuff that I've wanted to watch. I'll give her one. I ended up loving that show, and I can't wait
for it. How gracious of you to put it that way.
How nice of me, right? I'm going to give you a show. Let's watch it. And I ended up falling in love with it. There was another one. I can't even remember what it was. I think it was like a Viking-related show on Netflix, and that's like right up my alley.
Is it Vikings? That was on
the Nat
Geo channel?
I don't think it was a different one. I'd have to look up the title of it, but I remember we watched like 20 minutes of the 15, 20 minutes of the first episode, and we just kind of looked at each other like, turn it off, and we found that show, and we ended up watching the entire thing. I will put, and maybe this is just my viewing pleasure, what satisfies me when watching something, I will put TV in this age up against movies any day of the week. Like
I don't disagree with you because of your point you made originally.
It's a golden age of television right now. There is so much content out there that, yes, it can be a little overwhelming, I think, at times to surf through and find the right show that you want to watch. But when you find good TV shows and you get to binge through them, like, honestly, the main negative of pandemic television viewing is, one, the amount of shows that I'm now going to have to watch when things get back to normal, because eventually I don't watch that many shows, but now I'm on a whole bunch more just because we've binged through everything. But also the realization of how sucky television is when you can't binge watch something, because you get through an entire, like, we're doing Money Heist right now, which I love. We're on part 4. That's our new show. Huge fan of that show. I love it. It's awesome. It's entertaining. Keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Right.
Like, dude, when we get through that, we got to wait like 18 months for part 5 to come out.
That sucks.
That's
going
to suck. And so that's the main negative of pandemic TV viewing, is you got to wait a long time for the next season.
So I wanted to ask this because Adnan Verk, I think, is a little out there. I'm sure he's got some supporters, you know, of, oh yeah, Ozark wasn't great. And I haven't checked the text line. I'm sure some people don't like it out there, but.
No, sure. Yeah.
I want to know, what is a TV show that you just hated? You just hated. It's that seemed to be pretty popular out there. 55305 and 503-250-1080 is where you can text in that. But we had this recently. We watched a new show. I think it's on Netflix. Yeah, I think it's a Netflix show. Dead to Me. Have you heard of this one?
We do. That was one of our shows up for consideration when we started Money Heist.
Christina Applegate.
Yes. She like murders her husband or
no, her husband gets murdered.
Okay. I knew that was like the premise. Yeah.
But there's a huge backstory to it. I forget the other actress's name. I'll look it up during the break. She's really good in it. She is one of the best friends of Christina Applegate.
Okay.
She's a little out there. James Marsden's in it. It's an Adam McKay, Will Ferrell show. So we dove in. It's kind of dark. It's got great humor. We loved season one. We watched it in 3 days.
And boom.
Season two kind of sucks. It's slow. We haven't been motivated to watch an episode every night. In fact, we haven't watched one in a week. We just haven't liked it. So I think that's an example of a show that, oh yeah, we got a new show.
Right.
And the next season, it can't quite live up to what season one is. Now every episode basically is coming out with this. It's the same tone.
Right.
She's really mad. Her friend and her fight. They make up at the end. Something horrible happens. Right. They're
oh
in
my
it
God.
Together.
Yeah, you got to figure it out from
it's
there.
It's kind of the same storyline every episode now.
Now, here's what I'll say. As a TV viewer, I am loyal to a fault. If you hook me with an entire season of a show, I will go down with the ship. And there are examples of that in the past. I am ashamed to admit, but I will admit, I watched every season of True Blood. Okay,
I'll never forget you being a True Blood guy.
I will turn the card in. The first season of that show, I will still maintain, was fantastic. Every season after that was absolute trash. But I go down with the ship. I watch the rest of it.
Dirt Legs, High School Vampires.
Yeah, another show that's like that for me was Better Call Saul, because I love Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
So the first season of Better Call Saul was awesome. I loved it. The next two seasons, not great, right? Kind of drawn.
Sure.
But I was not willing to back away from it because I liked the storyline and I wanted to see it through. And the last season, it built it back up. I think they just finished season four. Season four was really good. So I'll go down with the ship no matter what. If you get me hooked for a season, I'll watch all of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go all the way through it. The good show, though, that you don't like is very easy for me.
Okay, wait.
Okay, am I going to hold it?
Yeah, I want you. We're at a break point.
Okay.
I want you to hold it.
It's very easy for me.
If you have a very popular TV show that you hated, did not like, what have you, there is, we might question it when we read it, but there's no judgment. Like, everybody's taste is different. You can share it our text line. You can tweet us at 1080 The Fan or at Dirt and Sprague. Adnan Verk's hot take is that Ozark sucked, wasn't good. It's a knockoff, worse version of Breaking Bad. I see the parallels. I also disagree. I think they're completely different shows.
Yeah, by the way, Johnny Kuglud's, it was Last Kingdom was the show I started on Netflix, and we watched like 20 minutes of it. It was like, I'm gonna abort this one.
What's the popular show you just didn't like, you thought it was overrated, you didn't understand the hype? We'll get to that. We also have some NBA news. We got a whole lot more to get to. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We've got a lot to get to today, sports and non-sports, because it's Friday. Including one YouTube family that thought they were going to get on sympathy for doing something just bad. I mean, horrible. I have no sympathy for them. And I don't know if anybody does, because they're getting trashed.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any sympathy for them.
You're just tuning in. Adnan Virk does sportscaster, also does like podcasts on movies and TVs. He hates Ozark, so we're talking about that. Just really popular shows. I know you dove into this one late, and man, you got through all three. You finished three seasons
of Ozark
before I finished season three, and I had watched one and two before you.
I did. That's a lesson, though, I've also learned in pandemic, because when there's so much sports on, I try and limit the TV shows that I watch.
Sure.
Just because they eat up a lot of time and you kind of get roped in and you want to binge, but every night there's something going on. But now that there isn't, I'm realizing I need to stop being so stubborn about TV shows. Because you told me about Ozark for like 3 years. I was like, yeah, I get it. Good show. Whatever, whatever. I dove in, couldn't turn it off. I did the same thing recently, though, with Money Heist. Where like all my entire group of friends was watching Money Heist. And they kept saying it was great. But I saw the trailer and I was like, and the voices are dubbed, or you got to watch it in subtitles. I was like, that's whatever. Not really my thing. Dude, we are hooked on that show.
Yeah. TV recommendations are great. And you and I love to share them. And some of the shows we both watch and we both react to.
You were that way with Stranger Things. Yeah. You didn't dive into Stranger Things until
late. I poo-pooed it and I delayed it. And the wife and I, she heard a ton of it at work. And I said, okay, you're diving in, I'll dive
in. Fine, we'll watch this.
We are hooked.
Yeah. It's a hook, line, and sinker, man. It's a great show.
It's a really good show. In fact, when you binge watch something and people give comments like season two, not that good, it's slow. Because I think I heard that from you and some other people. We binge watched it. We didn't feel that way at all.
Yeah.
But it's just bang, bang, bang all the way through.
Right.
But you have shows conversely that not great.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them exist. And I want to know from the audience of people out there, what show you just didn't stick with you? You... acting was not as good. The storyline sucked. Couldn't suspend belief. Just in general, didn't like it. Now, they're popular shows. Now, my problem is all my shows that I can think of in this regard are mainly network television shows.
Yes.
And that's from over a decade ago because I don't really watch network television anymore. I watch Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Disney Plus. Like, I watch all that stuff now, the streaming services, more so than I do The Blacklist.
Right.
Or,
The Blacklist.
Yeah. I don't know, Prison Break on Fox. Right, or season 18 of Grey's Anatomy. Grey comes back to life.
Right. There's a certain thing about non-network TV shows that I think allow for more suspense than network TV shows do. Like, you can't... There's like when you have a main character on a network TV show or a prime character, it's very rarely do they get killed off, that kind of thing, right? Like, that was what always set Game of Thrones apart for me, is that you literally never knew, if you didn't read the books at least, and we didn't read the books, you never knew who was going to go, who was going to make it, like the bad guys were going to win. Like, it always kept you on the edge of your seat. You just don't quite get that as much, in my opinion at least, with network television. The good show, though, that I've never liked, and this might upset some people, I've never got it, never liked it, can't stand it, Friends.
I'll be there for you.
I cannot. Yeah. I can't stand that show. Yeah. The premise behind Monica is annoying as hell.
Ross and Rachel.
Ross is a nerd that's like has social anxiety, but he lands the hottest chick on the show. Joey's not that funny. He's like one-liners, dude. I can't stand that show.
Yeah.
It was a cheap knockoff version with more romance than Seinfeld. Yeah. Get the hell out of here. No, I don't.
It was
like
kind of a Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing.
That's
a catchy tune, though.
Come on,
it's a catchy tune.
Get that nonsense out of here.
Yeah, they tried to say it wasn't Seinfeld. They like calling it, it's about friendship. It's like, well, so was Seinfeld.
Right, it's about four friends.
Yeah, Seinfeld was just more sadistic in a certain regard than Friends was.
Right, that one, I mean, look.
My hot take?
Chicks are hot, but yeah, no thanks.
It's not an entire show because I watched this show a little early. I know everybody kind of says that, right? But I did, and I loved it. It did get to a point where I kind of... hate might not be the right word for it, but I got close to that. I did not like the last two seasons of Breaking Bad.
Interesting. Okay. Now, I'll listen to that argument.
Not every episode. Yeah. There were some episodes like, yeah, it was intense. It was great.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was really intense the last couple seasons because Walter became what he became and people found out about it. I don't know if I liked the way that show ended.
I'm okay with that.
You know, I loved the show the first, this is what, 7 seasons? I would say 4 to 5 seasons in the last 2. I wasn't a big fan of.
And I feel like that's a different argument, though, too, because I have a handful of shows that are like that.
Yes.
And I feel like it's easy to make fun of when you're not the one that's having to come up with the storylines and write it.
Yeah, and I do hold a real regard and respect for Vince Gilligan because, damn, like, he created that show.
You create this idea in this show, and how much of it do you map out probably when you start a TV show, right? They're not good. I don't think when you're creating the concept that you know how it's going to end in 8 seasons, right? They're just trying to hopefully have a hit on their hands. And they probably write out the first couple of seasons. Next thing you know, you have this monster TV hit. And it's like, okay, now go satisfy everybody.
I know.
And it's not easy
to
do.
It's a Game of Thrones problem.
And the Game of Thrones is a prime example of that. For me. The last season sucked,
It
man.
Wasn't good.
And I will go to my grave arguing that. That season of television was trash.
I tried to defend it.
It ruined all of the not everything, because it's still a great show.
They had some great seasons.
It's still an amazing show. Everything up until the final season. The final season sucked.
The show I hated the most is network television. I just could not get past season 1, Lost.
Yeah, I never even tried Lost.
God, man. I just didn't get why people loved it.
We had a lot of people texting that in.
Lost?
Lost being the one for them.
It's like, okay, so they were just doing drugs? Is that what you were telling me? The whole thing was a dream? Like,
right.
What am I supposed to walk away with this show?
Somebody said, no spoilers for Breaking Bad, please. I just started. We won't spoil anything.
No, I won't.
Watch it all the way through. We'll be curious. When you finish, text us and let us know.
Although part of this is kind of on people if you're waiting this long to rewatch, but all due respect to you, the listener, I will not ruin anything. Give you on the other side of this, and we'll read some thoughts. Walking Dead's another good one.
Never tried it. Never put my toe in that water.
We gave it 4 episodes, and I know I just ranted about that. But
it didn't hit for you?
Well, zombies don't do anything for me. That's why I like Zombieland. It's a comedy centered around zombies with Woody Harrelson. I'll get behind that. I can't do 17 seasons of zombies in Atlanta. I just personally can't do it. But I will give you my 2 favorite TV shows right now. One I just watched, and the other one's been out for a few years.
Okay.
I'm a lighthearted comedy guy that loves to talk about life topics. Mm-hmm. That's probably my top, genre. Big fan of Master of None. I think Aziz Ansari's done a great job with that show.
You love that show.
I'm telling you, maybe you differ. I think it's good.
I'm sure I would love it if I watched
and
it.
And just comedy related, Dave on Hulu. That's the Little Dicky show.
Yeah, other folks in the office have been talking about
it. It is hilarious and really well done.
I don't know why I don't lean in often to comedy shows, and I don't know why.
Well, it's not it's not maybe your favorite
but
cup of tea.
The Office I love. Seinfeld is one of, if not my favorite show of all time, right? Like, I love good comedy
but
shows.
But you're in a much different, dude, when you watch Seinfeld, that was over a decade ago.
Very
when you
true.
Watched
you're
The
younger.
Office, that was over a decade ago. You're
Very
you're
true.
An
Very
adult.
True.
You have a different personality type.
That is true. I think I am trying to adapt in my older years now of going down avenue. Like, you know what you like, right? You know the road that you want to be on. And I try and branch out every now and then. You know, I try and make myself chuckle and find something else that maybe you wouldn't usually pick out. But like a listener texted him.
Scorching hot takes here on the text line.
Seinfeld, the most overrated show ever. Get your ass out of here. I don't want to hear that
nonsense.
I said
no judgments.
That's true.
I said no judgments.
Sorry, we're in the trust tree. It's okay.
This is the trust tree.
Now, the one thing I will say, though, because a listener texted in and said, I have zero interest in watching Breaking Bad or The Sopranos, and I don't know why. I get it. I'm guilty of that, right? You'll have a show that people will tell you, this is great. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. I think a lot of us are just stubborn. I know I'm guilty of that. Swigart's probably the most guilty of any of us, right? You'll tell them, like, dude, you would love this show. And it's like, nah, I don't want to watch it. It's like, well, you probably would like it if you watch it, but we're all stubborn to a certain extent. What I would say, if you have zero interest in it, I've had shows like that in the past, give it a chance. And again, it doesn't have to be all, you know, how many, I can't remember how many seasons The Sopranos were. I think there were six seasons.
Six is broken up into two. It's like That's a 6A, 6B thing.
So there's seven-ish seasons. There's five, I think, of Breaking Bad, right? You don't have to watch the whole thing. But
there's only five of Breaking Bad?
Like, I was this way with The Wire. Everybody always talked about how good The Wire was. It's just great TV. You got to watch The Wire. I didn't watch it when it first started. I was way late coming to that party. And I remember I watched the first 30 minutes of the first episode, and I thought, nah, this show sucks. And I turned it off.
I didn't like the first episode of The Wire. I was like, eh, okay.
It didn't rope me in. And then finally, like a year later, I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'll give it another chance. And once I got through like four or five episodes, hooked. And it's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I do think TV's unique in that you have to kind of get past a point. And I know I just said this after saying four episodes of one of the shows that I just quit on. Was it Lost? Yeah, Lost. Anyways, I know I kind of went against that, but I'm with you. Some shows take a minute to develop. You need character development in them. I was really late on Sopranos. I love that show.
The Sopranos is unbelievable.
He is. I mean, I get it. I used to kind of, I never watched it, but I'd always go like, oh, really? Tony Soprano's the best character of all time?
Yeah.
He is.
He is. It's hard to top.
He's a complex individual, and I've never rooted for a bad guy the way that I root for Soprano.
Yeah.
You know, there's other examples of great bad guys you root for. You could say Walter White. I kind of went against Walter White at the end there. I'm like, your family hates this. Your brother-in-law is a narcotic.
Easy. We have a listener that doesn't want any spoilers.
Yeah, but he knows he's a bad guy, right? Yeah. He's making drugs.
You learned that in the first episode that he's going to break bad.
But I kept it with Soprano. I rooted for him the whole way.
Yeah,
I never had a breakaway point where I was like, eh, come on, Tony.
Right.
Even cheating on his wife, I would like normalize it in my mind. Like, Carmella's kind of not being supportive right
she's
now.
She's kind of nagging him a little bit at home.
So
I
get
Tony.
Why you're into the Russian chick with one leg. You know, like I would rationalize the idea and the thinking of Tony Soprano.
Somebody said my girlfriend has me watching Nashville right now. Hashtag not terrible. Hashtag don't stare at Hayden. Hey, you always got to watch shows that the significant other will. We're all falling into that trap from time to time, right? Somebody said I didn't watch Breaking Bad until it was way over with. My friend made me during a snowstorm a couple of years back, and I watched all the seasons in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it can do it
right through it, man.
No doubt.
I think it's. I also think it's important too, and I forget this at times. But as I'm an avid TV watcher, right? I love my shows.
Mm-hmm.
I view this way with food. I view this way with music. I think it's good to have a mixed palate.
I'm with you there.
That you got to, maybe you got it like the Jeffrey Epstein documentary, dude. We want to dive into that when we're done with Money Heist. Have you seen the trailers for that?
Who did that?
Netflix.
Did that just come out?
Oh boy. Yeah. Go watch that. Go watch that trailer.
I don't know if I'm mentally ready for the Epstein
doc. So if you're going to watch something like that, you got to have something lighter on the palate. You know what I mean?
I might watch that when we get to Bandon on Saturday night.
You got to sprinkle in something that'll make you laugh and something that'll cheer you up because that thing is going to be depressing.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of thoughts coming in here. 55305, 503-250-1080 is our text line. You can share them here. A lot of great TV hot takes. I'm with somebody earlier who did the, what's the nerd show? It's still going. CBS.
Big Bang Theory?
No, that's over now, I thought, isn't it? I thought they just wrapped up.
This was their last season.
I think they just did their last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, it's network television, man. You know, it's
I know. That's kind of what you get with network television.
Bazinga!
There's some, I still think some can stick out. I watched The Good Place. The Good Place is really well written.
Is that sob story that makes everybody cry?
No.
What show's that?
It's Ted Danson.
Oh, okay.
Kirsten Bell.
I was thinking the one with Mandy Moore that everybody's like crying about.
Oh, This Is Us?
Yeah, no. That show. Yeah.
I watched three episodes of that and I cried on one of them. Like, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to watch this anymore.
I didn't have a dad either. I don't want to do that. I didn't want to dive into that one. All right, you can keep sharing your thoughts there. We'll probably get to that some more because let's have some fun on a Friday. I like seeing these thoughts, too, from listeners. Also, one YouTube family we have to guilt. We got a minor league ball player speaking out. We got the NBA deadline kind of leaked from Sham Sharania. Got a whole lot more to get to. And don't forget, we're going to spritz the line at 2:30 because my new last name is not Sprague. It's Spritz. So a whole lot more to get to. Hour and a half next. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
Hey, welcome back in 133. Sorry if I stink today. I wore compression shorts at golf. I didn't have time to change afterwards, so I got a little steam going on over here.
I should have assumed you golfed this morning instead of...
A little steam bath going on.
I looked at you and said, oh, he's so excited about Bandit, he put his golf attire on.
He's wearing golf shorts and a polo today.
It's like opening day for baseball. You wear the team hat. It's like he's wearing his golf polo because he can't wait to be out at Bandit tomorrow.
But, you know what? Can we start a new tradition as a show? Now, this will never happen, but just a fun idea that popped into my head. Since we're all going to be so excited for when sports come back on opening days, can we wear full uniforms in and to do a show?
We're not on TV. Why are we doing
just
that?
Just for fun.
I don't know how.
Wear a baseball uni.
I'm not buying a full Braves uniform.
Go to Dick's Sporting Good and buy a gray pair of pants and get a Braves uni. Let's go.
Spend $110
when the NHL drops the puck.
Come on, put your mouthpiece in and try and do a show with it.
I'll do this with you.
It'd be kind of fun.
Are you a visor guy or a non-visor guy?
Ooh, I go visor. Okay. You got to protect the eyes.
Okay.
You can call me a Nancy for that, but come on, it's a moneymaker.
Oh, Dirt's total visor guy.
Dude, I'm not taking a puck to the nose. What are you, crazy?
I feel like Josh Donaldson is who you would be if you were a pro ball player.
Oh, really?
Mullet, weird cut in the back, visor.
Interesting.
Playing the hot corner.
Josh Donaldson. Yeah. That's your go-to?
That's kind of shorter. That's my vibe with you.
Okay. He's got a lot of power, so I'll take that, you know.
Strikes out. I feel like a guy that will whiff once in a while.
240 hitter, you know.
Good on defense.
Right, well, yeah.
Great teammate.
He's quick in the corner. I'm not ultimately that quick.
Always has some seeds in his mouth.
Sure.
But okay. I'll do this with you next year. I promise you this. I will do the full uniform with you next year.
Yeah.
Only if we both wear cleats.
Like click-clacking our way into the studio?
Yeah.
The one I could
change
off,
to drive, but we have to wear the full thing.
I could pull off a basketball uniform. I don't have I do have officially like the actual Blazer shorts or whatever. They're way too expensive, but I have a pair of those. Mm-hmm. And I have old Blazer unis, so I could do it on opening day.
See, I only have a Jordan uni.
You don't have any Blazer unis?
Not anymore.
Really?
I had a Sheed one for a while. I got lost in moving.
Well, I got Sheed and B-Roy. I'll bring one in for you.
Okay.
You be Hideo Nomo, I'll be Jose Canseco. Opening day.
Who is the Canseco of those two? It's got to be Sheed, right? Sheed's Canseco.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's
Roy's,
for sure Sheed.
You don't even hear from Hideo Nomo.
Right, exactly.
I don't hear from Brandon Roy unless Jason Quick talks to him.
Exactly. Somebody did text in, speaking of all these TV shows, what happened to the book club? That's a good good question.
Well, this is to be, okay, I like to be honest with people, and sometimes that involves, you know, throwing people under the bus a little bit.
Oh, let's throw, who are we throwing under the bus?
I'm not throwing him under the bus.
Oh, Jason Swaggart.
Swag can only go, you know, Swag doesn't want to watch three a night, and I don't blame him for that. He's got his own TV situation.
He paces himself.
We might turn it into book club movie edition.
Yeah, because we had kicked around the idea, Space Force, I believe, comes out today.
But we're going to pace at different levels.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? The next book club, and maybe we'll wait till like next Wednesday to start. So take that note. I really want to watch this Uncut Gems.
I do too. It's on Netflix now.
It just got to Netflix. Yeah. I've heard nothing but amazing things. And then you get this small sliver that's like, it sucks. I really want to see if it's Sandler's best movie since, I don't even know. He's made so many, but...
I would say Funny. I thought Funny People was a pretty good movie. That might be a hot take. I thought Funny People was good.
Yeah. Funny People.
I mean, he hasn't done serious movies, though, so this is new for him.
Click was probably his last.
Click, yeah.
God, real Click. Serious movie. Did you like Click?
I did not like. I mean, the premise of it is a good premise, at least, but no, that's not a good movie.
I like It's a Wonderful Life, so he just took that premise. Right. Your life if you die.
Right. If it goes different ways, what would happen?
Right. And I regret everything. Let me go love my family now.
Okay, I'm on board with that. We can do that next week. I like that. We'll watch Uncut Gems. Great thoughts coming in, by the way, on TV shows. People are fighting. This is the golden age television. Not only is TV at its peak, but also... we have nothing to do.
Well, and
so everybody's watching a lot of TV.
I'll give you one more, and I'm absolutely dating myself here. So if you're just slightly older than us, take this with a grain of salt. Just brush this one off.
Uh-oh. Is this your True Blood?
No. This is my TV show I did not like.
You did not like. Okay.
Now, I have not rewatched this because, again, as you mentioned, there's so many shows.
There's a lot out there, man.
I watched a lot, and I was kind of forced to with my... home environment, my stepdad when he lived with us and my mom, they routinely would watch MASH.
Not your cup of tea?
No.
No.
No, okay. I was a little probably young to understand some of the
you didn't live
sexual innuendo
yeah.
jokes that they had in there, but I just, man, I remember being like 7 and 8, and I was
this
like,
show sucks.
So boring. They're always in a tent. Right.
I will admit, I've never seen an episode of MASH.
Really?
Never.
Your parents didn't make you watch that?
They did not make me watch it. No, I've never seen an episode of MASH.
We would watch MASH, and they were, my mom was pretty cool. Some kids got this, some kids didn't, of my age at least. Let me watch Simpsons.
Yeah, give you the kind of more adultish thing to watch.
So I always would just take MASH in and be like, oh, well, at least I get to watch The Simpsons.
All right, whatever, let's move on from that. That's still a number two, by the way, the MASH finale that still holds up, like, TV-wise. The number of people that watch that finale is crazy.
Yeah.
So, my big show.
Yeah, my take on that stuff is always, though, there was like four channels.
None of us on TV.
Doesn't mean it sucked. It just means that we only had so many options.
Yesterday, dumping all over vanity plates. Now you're dumping all over MASH. Anybody else you want to piss off for the last hour and 20 minutes of the show? Which way do we want to go with this one?
I told you to not listen to this opinion, and I know most people love MASH, so my opinion sucks. I'll just say that, okay?
Let's get to this quickly. By the way, keep the TV text coming in. I just love to read what people are watching and what they like and don't like. There's some good hot takes, and a lot of people are on board with some of the shows that we've watched recently. One last note I will say on TV viewing is I wonder, again, back to like a ripple effect thing of what this is going to do for TV for the next like year and a half, or maybe even so 2 years, because you got to think a lot of shows haven't been able to convene people to start filming seasons. Like, stuff has kind of been put on hiatus because you have social distancing, right? So you might have to wait longer for a lot of stuff to come out. So that's an interesting ripple effect to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Let's get to this quickly. And if you're anti-Tim Tebow, you're going to love this segment. But we know a lot of minor league baseball players have been cut here in the last couple of days. One of them is Andrew Church. You ever heard of him? You a big Andrew Church fan?
Yeah, his brother Jason does great music, so I'm a big Church fan.
Jason Church? That was close. I mean, you guys.
What's his name?
I don't even want to go there with you.
What is his name?
I don't even.
Isn't it Jason Church?
Eric Church.
I even know it's Eric
come on,
Church.
You're better than
and
that.
And I don't listen to country music.
There's a Jason Aldean.
There's
an Eric Church. Come on. You're better than that. Anyways, I'm just gonna hurdle right over that insult to a genre of music that I like. He's a former second round pick of the New York Mets, but he spent his entire career in the minor league system. And he was one of their many minor leaguers that was cut on Thursday. He was not happy about it.
Well, I wouldn't be happy losing that either.
You probably shouldn't be, and it's probably it for him. It sounds like he's kind of towards the end. Never made it to the big leagues, obviously. He went to do a post about this, said he was bitter, frustrated, and angry at the Mets organization. Said he was once called up to AAA, and he was sent to throw in a game, and they didn't allow him to warm up before they threw him in. They like called him up, said, "We need an arm, go pitch in a relief situation." He went into the game, and he tore his UCL that night.
Jeez.
He said the very next year, they made a mockery of our team by putting a celebrity on it to sell more tickets. I saw players lose their jobs because of it. And I'd be wondering.
We talked about that when it happened.
Celebrity. Oh, that's right. It was Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
He continued. Baseball has always been the only constant in my life. No matter if I'm active or not, I'll always play. It's my release. I asked to be reinstated in 2019 when a new player development regime took over for the Mets. I honestly think they are making strides to be a better organization, but the culture that has been built for decades within that organization is toxic. Filled with snakes and bottom feeders trying to elevate their professional careers at the expense of the players with no remorse.
Well, they are the Mets. He's not entirely wrong.
So he said, to my future, you all know I can't stop and I get scary when I'm motivated. Watch out. Hashtag Carvnation. I don't know what that means. But
that's probably some pitching thing.
Some thing. So he not very happy. He took to Instagram to vent about them getting him hurt because they forced him into a game when he wasn't ready to pitch and making a mockery of baseball by signing a celebrity to sell tickets.
Well, I mean, okay, one, I think it's really easy to kind of come down on him because you're only saying this out of frustration. You lost your gig.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel sorry for him in that regard. The Tebow thing, like everybody kind of highlighted that. Like, Tebow is going to take a spot from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys throughout this whole experience. As much as we love to highlight when he has like a 7-game hitting streak on SportsCenter, you know what you don't see? Tim Tebow hitting 202 or 197 in the minors and still being able to start and given every season to continue to play. He's not wrong in that regard. But what he is kind of glossing over in a certain respect, they're a minor league team. They have to sell tickets. They need to make money. And as we're seeing right now during COVID, A lot of teams won't commit past certain points.
You got to put butts in the seats to make money as a minor league.
You
got to
do this, man. And I wasn't a big, let's put Tebow in double-A baseball. And sure, he hit a couple home runs and hit 220 at some point. But yeah, it's a sham. It's a joke. But to sell money and to get money and sell tickets, we knew that. So sure, he's frustrated. He's probably making some valid points. The Mets organization right now today, bit of a cluster, their ownership situation we don't know about.
Yeah, very true.
It sucks with their pitching staff and the injuries they've gone through, but it's kind of what they have been. Now, maybe they're going to be good once this restarts. They have good talent right now. But I think he's speaking out of frustration losing a job, and he's also highlighting some truth.
So minor league baseball players in the news right now, and Andrew Church, cut by the Mets, former second-round pick, spent his entire career in the minors. He lashed out at the organization for the way they handled development of players. Said they threw him into pitch in a game before letting him warm up, and he tore his UCL, and he was frustrated because they signed a celebrity to sell more tickets, mentioning Tim Tebow. Let's get to a couple of football notes. John Madden has a suggestion for NFL broadcasts, and I want to hear just see how people feel about it. Also, one player took a phenomenal dig at his former team. We'll get to those crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Well, they're temporarily closed. They want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. 100 free workouts available at crunchlive.com. But I don't know if this has been reported yet, but I did record commercials. They are opening their gyms on June 8th. Boom goes the dynamite. Portland and Vancouver, 6 a.m., June 8th. They did not give me a new read for Crunch Time yet, but I'm just going to throw that bad boy out there and let people know.
Let's go!
They're opening back up, baby.
Let's go!
We'll get to, I don't know where
Sprague. Feels great, baby.
Sprague's taking a dump or something. We'll get to Spritz in the Line in the final hour of the show at 2:30. We have over-unders set for all of our rounds at Abandoned Dunes. All four of us. Dusty texted me he does not actually have a handicap, so he's saying to set his number at 100.5. He said he wants to break 100. Yeah, nice of you to show up there, Sprager. Yeah, wow. Tim Taylor's just going to take your spot, man. Jeez. Got a new co-host in here.
Well, I just got wind. I'm sorry I was late. I didn't know the break was 10 seconds long, but I heard Taylor was on. I wanted to save our ratings.
Oh, yeah.
That's my bad.
You got to pull us back from the abyss.
I was going to come over there, but I didn't want to get in your workstation.
Yeah, you got to stay in our own little bubbles.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you seen the what they're doing in France at the restaurants?
Well, is that a real thing or is that an experiment? Is it the bubble, the personal bubble thing?
So it's not a personal bubble. I don't know. Well, kind of, yeah. But it basically is like a dog cone of shame where it hangs from the ceiling and it goes down.
So that is really what they're doing.
I'd say to about the nipple so you have room to use your forks and, you know, that kind of stuff.
I'm out on that.
Okay, you're out on that.
I'm only going back.
You scoop down and up. Yeah. Down and up.
Yeah.
Shovel it in your mouth.
By the way, I was late because as I was coming back, and this doesn't help the argument, Mike, who is actually younger than me, goes, hey, I heard what you said about MASH. I totally agree.
Yeah, another person. You had one person texting him where to go.
Well, I love Cheers. I watched Cheers and MASH at the same age, and I loved Cheers.
We had a 48-year-old text in said I didn't get MASH either. So.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit older.
Taylor, did you like MASH?
I'm like 90. Was that show even on when I was a kid? It was in syndication a lot.
That's probably how I watched it was syndication.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. I don't even know when it ended.
No, I can't remember.
It ended in.
I remember seeing it. It was a fine show.
I remember watching the finale. Yeah.
The finale?
Yeah.
How old were you, Swigard?
I want to say I was 9 or 10. I think it was 80 or 81 when it ended.
Okay.
Then it was absolute syndication.
Yeah. You weren't watching it live.
No, well, no, yeah, I figured I wasn't.
What, are you like 12? You look like a 12. I'm not going to be mean. It's good, right? Really
dude, by the way, fun fact, now that you just brought Sprague's that up, it reminded me.
No pubes because he looks like he's 12.
Well, you manscaped too, but no, it made me think, have you been in, this is terrible radio, but I promise Squirrel! There'll be a payoff here.
This whole show's terrible.
have you been in a Prod 3 recently?
No.
Dude.
A week and a half?
So in this commercial break, I'm going to run into Prod 3. For some reason, we have it's a production studio that you record stuff in anyways, painting the picture for listeners.
Yeah.
Well, there's a desktop computer in there that is for everybody's use, okay? And it has like 8,000 files saved to the desktop. It drives people crazy. Anyways, that's where you go in, okay? I was in there recording something yesterday and today before the show. In the background on the desktop is an old picture of our show.
Yes. Oh, you just noticed this?
No, I noticed that. But what I noticed was, dude, you've lost a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah.
I had
3 pimples on my face in that photo. Dude,
looked that closely at that picture and I thought, what?
Yeah.
Who is this like fat Sprague twin and where did he come from?
Dude.
So and then I also look like 30 pounds skinnier. I was like, dude, we're going in the wrong direction, man.
Right. You know how they say, like,
I'm going to tweet out that picture in the next commercial.
You know, you're at a moment where you're talking about your older brother to somebody and he calls you a minute after, right? Random coincidence.
Yeah.
I S you not. My wife and my youngest kid, we're hanging out in the front of our house. My wife's doing some gardening in the yard. I'm just chilling, hanging out.
Yeah.
We were talking and I said, because I saw an old thing of photos from our honeymoon, vacation, wedding, family get-togethers. I used to think, because I was a lot stronger, like I lifted weights.
You were never fat. You were bulkier.
Right. But I was like, in the moment, I'm like, oh, I'm in good shape. I'm great. Yeah. And I look at those photos and I go, I was 30 pounds fatter. I'm like ashamed to look at it. So when I go in there, I see that picture and I'm always like, oh,
I saw your face. I don't know why I've never looked at it that close. And I just thought, wow.
It goes from mouth to neck with just a giant chin.
I don't think you realize changes that people make when you're around them every day.
Yeah.
Like Swag's had that. Like we realize how Swigart is like as skinny as an 8-year-old now. Like he is skinnier than hell.
Yes.
He's lost a lot of weight.
Well, and he also has no muscle definition.
We'll work on that next.
Next.
Sure. You lost it. Now you tone it back up. But we don't quite, it's not as stark to us because we see him every day.
Right.
But
it's been gradual.
Right. Then there's people that'll come into the office who haven't been in months because, you know, Rona, and they'll see Swag and they'll be like, dude, what? Like they'll look at him like, what the hell happened to you, man?
Yeah. Yeah. At 3 month sample size too is good because, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. His is one I've noticed though, like from a week to week thing. And the one that startled me the most was probably 2 weeks ago. He walks up and he's like, hey, how we doing? Man, he was wearing clothes that Fat Swag barely could fit into.
Like his pants are falling
his
down.
His belt buckle wasn't even on a hole. He had to like paper clip it so it would tighten his shorts. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, we had to go get all new golf shorts.
Yeah.
And we're now 34s.
34s,
Taylor,
man.
You look fine.
You're looking good, Taylor.
And yeah. I have room to tuck shirts in. Yes. Thank you. Better you today.
There you go.
Call him.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, Tim Taylor. Better you today.
Good stuff.
I lost 30. You're that's right.
Tim. He's saying you look great, Tim.
Yeah.
He's saying you look great. You can't hear him.
I've gained a lot of weight. I
got to
go.
Swag wants to sleep with you.
Yeah. He thinks you're very attractive.
Hey, you know, I mean, I did. It's funny you said that because I noticed that today because I had walked in here.
How skinny Swigart is? Yeah.
Dude, he looks good.
He does. Yeah.
He's shaming me. I feel like I'm being shamed just looking at him.
Well,
God darn, I didn't realize how fat I'm getting. I got more chins than a Chinese football club.
Well, I'll tell you this. On the Swigart front of weight loss, I got a text 2 days ago. I didn't share this with the show. I got a text 2 days ago, and I didn't have this number in my phone, and I don't ever get texts from random numbers. And it said, I've never had more sex than I'm having now.
Whoa.
That was a first text.
Whoa.
I responded to it, and I go,
whoa.
I first said, well, that's great. And they responded, I know. My mind's never been clearer. And I said, pardon me. I did the whole new phone who dis thing. I said,
who is texting me?
I said,
this?
Sorry, who is this? Lady Swag.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Boom.
Lady Swag. And I said, look at Swigart out here dropping LBs.
Yes.
Dropping LBs and picking up the ladies.
I don't know what that segment was, but it was fun. I had a good time. I don't know about you guys, but I had a lot of fun.
Those texts weren't real, Swigart. I'm.
Yeah.
Oh, or maybe they were.
Maybe they were. Who knows? I don't know.
And much more flexible, Jason Swigart.
He can put his leg over his head now. Wait, what?
Swag came on and was like, I'm bendy.
I'm shifty now.
I want to find out.
He's getting that draft
that
evaluation.
Of motion has increased.
By the way, I'll go tweet out that picture. We'll do a side by side photo, old Sprague, new Sprague.
Dude.
Just because I saw that yesterday and it made me chuckle.
Can you not get it too close?
I'm going to get to this real quick before we go so there is at least something of substance in this segment. So Melvin Gordon was doing an interview recently. He now plays for the Denver Broncos, in case you forgot that. Okay, signed with an AFC West rival. And he was asked a question in an interview about what's it going to be like playing in a stadium with no fans. Like, if you guys come back in Denver, there's no fans, right? It's just going to be weird playing NFL games with no fans, right? You know what his response was? It's the joke that we've all made. We didn't have fans anyways. We didn't have many a Chargers game, so I'm not missing much.
He's not wrong at all. And when he comes back to play as a Bronco,
I loved that.
All 35 Charger fans are going to boo him.
Boo, boo, boo.
The funniest part's going to be when he shows up, and this is assuming fans can be in the stadiums at some capacity. When he shows back up in LA as the starting running back for the Broncos, he's going to expect boos. He'll get 30 boos, and then the rest of the stadium will give him a standing ovation because they're Bronco fans. So he's kind of in a win-win situation here. He's calling out the truth of Charger Nation while also knowing he's going to get a standing ovation in LA because there'll be more Broncos fans than Charger fans. Good for Melvin Gordon.
Somebody said the Sprague in that picture is Brandon. What are we calling you now? Spritz?
Spritz.
Spritz. Brandon
Spritz.
Is
that Spritz?
Yeah, that's Brandon Spritz. Yeah. So we'll show you Brandon Spritz and then Brandon Sprague. Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. I'm not even going to do the old read anymore because their gyms are opening back up on June 8th in Portland and Vancouver, I believe 6 a.m. So wake up early on that Monday. Go get a workout in. We're fired up for the gyms to get back up and running. Crunch.com to check out the details. Okay, coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll spread the line. We have the over-under set on our round down at Bandon Dunes this weekend. So we'll see where everybody's laying their money on. We'll update those coming up on Monday. I have one other football note to get to. I didn't get to there. And that was from John Madden on a broadcasting note. So I want to see how people feel about it. Also, it sounds like we actually have some concrete details out of the NBA, a date in which they're planning on starting, and the exact kind of roadmaps they're thinking of following that they're ultimately going to vote on. So we'll start the final hour there. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.